Sevens, pay up, boys.
Yeah, you've got the devil's own luck this afternoon, mate.
Double or quits?
You will not mind going a little higher up.
It's the skipper, quick.
Carry on. O'Connor, bear a hand for the doctor, will you?
A hand for the doctor, is this, sir?
I have repeatedly mounted by the fatter crowds.
There you go,
perfectly
sir.
Perfectly capable of coming up unaided there.
We must mount farther up yet a little. You do not mind it?
Not I. Though I shall in that case take off my stockings. Lambs would at 3 and 9 a pair, not likely to be hazarded. Master Doodle, my good friend, how are your bowels now?
Oh, not on a Sunday,
Doctor.
My
rhubarb answered? Show me your tongue.
You're forgetting that today is Sunday. O'Connor, take great care of the doctor's wig.
Care of the wig it is, sir.
A clap under the shrouds now, Doctor. Not the ratlins. I will follow you and place your feet.
HMS Surprise by Patrick O'Brien. Dramatized in 3 parts by Roger Daines. Episode 3.
I believe Doodle may be suffering this teeth.
Because he would not show you his tongue.
But that and his fixed expression.
He had sweat the dice up into his mouth. The deadly, illegal 50 strokes at the gangway dice, Stephen.
Oh, which you did not see.
Bastard Doodle is a valuable upper yard man. Up! Oh. You may open your eyes.
Why, this is superb. The foremost cross trees, if I'm not mistaken. Have you noticed, my dear sir, how it is very near identical with those of the mizzen and the main?
An odd coincidence, ain't it? And I a guinea for every hour I've spent up here, Stephen. I should not be worrying about prizes, not discounting bills on my next quarter's pay. I should have been married long ago.
And is your relic here for which you've dragged me up so far?
On the cap. You have to stand up. There. J.A., do you see?
I do. And these blousy forms, supporters cut on either side. Manatees at a hazard.
Mermaids.
Beer-drinking mermaid?
I preserved this through 2 refits. Does it not raise your heart?
I'm obliged to you, sir, for the sight of it, sure.
But it does raise your heart, you know. Whatever you may say, it raises it 100 feet above the deck.
Huh?
Oh. You never smoked it, Stephen. Oh, I can get a good thing out from time to time.
One breath air, sail ho!
Well away, Mr. Callow!
2 points on the larboard bow, sir!
Do you realize we ran 11 knots 6 in chase of that Indiaman?
Oh. I'm sorry to hear that. Most concerned. Is there no remedy, my dear?
I fear not. And a sad disappointment for you, not so much as a gun.
Oh, I'm never disappointed by blood not shed.
And the news she carried was not lucky for me, neither. The company's China fleet has already sailed.
What of it?
We shall not meet them. And I'd so looked forward to getting my packet of letters off to England by them. But there's more wretched yet. The nearest French squadron, our only real hope of a prize, is not within 3,000 miles of us.
Is that so bad? Means you may convey His Excellency Mr. Stanhope unmolested to Campan.
A diplomatic mission, however successful, is not the same as sink, take, burn, or destroy.
Fly poor. Pullings tells me he's served with the Honourable East India Company. Mm-hmm. It seems the captains become exceedingly rich.
Oh, yes. They shake the pagoda tree like true British tars. Wallow in gold. But ask Pullings if he'd rather stay with John Company. No such captain will ever hoist his flag, Stephen.
Oh, it's lucky you are, Jack of the Navy, in comparison with such poor men.
Mm. I bought this of him. For Sophie.
No?
Do you feel it might be a trifle ostentatious? Was she to wear it in a hat?
What emerald splendor! Never have I beheld such extreme delicate magnificence.
I was told this is from a paradise bird.
A cockbird, of course. Mm. What a top amber. Have you ever contemplated upon sex, my dear?
What? Never. Sex has never entered my mind. At any time.
I mean the burden of it. Oh. This bird, for example, is weighed down by all these extravagant plumes till he can scarcely fly. And their only purpose is to induce the hen to yield to his importunities. Were he a caper now, how much easier his life would be.
That is a solemn thought.
If I were to castrate all the surprises, Jack...
What?
They would grow fat, placid. This ship would no longer be a man-of-war, darting angrily in constant, aggressive haste. There'd be none of this disappointment in missing the enemy. Why do you look at me like that?
To le grandeur de votre domaine, au roi des transis parapluies, très illustre éléphant de mille seigneurs.
No, no, Mr. Stanhope, you transpose the elephants with the seigneurs at your peril.
Oh, you are very kind, Doctor. It is mere nervousness.
Must it really be delivered in French?
It must. Admittedly, any sultan of Kampong is unlikely to possess that tongue in great perfection.
No more do I. Oh,
your Excellency understates your fluency.
He does not, Mr. Atkins.
To do His Majesty credit, I must be word perfect. There is a French resident at Kampong, and any lapse, any misplaced participle...
Bonaparte himself can barely speak the language. Will his representative in Kampong...
It matters much, sir.
I do not like your mottled face, Mr. Stanhope.
Oh, just this wretched bile, Doctor. I think so. I should be so infinitely obliged to you for half of one of your blue pills.
Your temperature is high again.
The heat is very hard to bear, sir. But whatever you may think proper, that shall certainly be more than sufficient to me.
Much improved, Stephen.
This hand can skip over the strings now, but I cannot hold a gun still, cannot defend myself if provoked. Count myself not a true Irish gentleman yet. Will you tell me what you were musing on through the adagio? It must have been something rarely pleasant.
I was thinking about marriage.
Ah.
And my garden that goes with it.
Must you have a garden when you're married? I was not aware.
Certainly. I had provided myself with a fine merchantman prize, and my cabbages were already springing up in rank and file. You?
I confess I muse upon Diana Villiers.
Stephen.
You went so hard at Surprise's refitting there in Bombay to finish and sail by the 17th, because you were told that was when she would be there. Not so?
I feared for you, Stephen.
What? That she would use me barbarously again?
That? Or that you would fight her man Canning? Or both?
You think I could not have stood it?
You're not fit to be treated rough. And there was a rumour that Admiral Linois' squadron was off Cape
Cormorant. Oh, that was stuff, Jack, and you know it was so. An untrue word intelligently spread to stop the rice ships from sailing. It's called rigging the market, and lark upon lark of rupees were made by it from Bombay's hungry poor.
I Well, damn them for a pack of greasy hounds, the speculators.
I am recognizant of your concern for me, Jack.
Well, thank you, my dear. You are a deep old file, you know. But you lit up like a boy at the mention of her name, though you did try to hide it. And I thought... I did not want... And for our mission, the monsoon winds...
I fear we may not complete it. Mr. Stanhope is gravely ill.
But you will set him up directly, Doctor, won't you?
He is thin, dry, yellow, continually nauseous. I have read through and through my little library of tropical medicine, and I confess myself at sea.
Oh, come now, Stephen. Was it another physician, I could believe it, but you? Never!
Dr. Maturin,
I beg you. By this?
It is His Excellency!
What is it?
Come quick! Now, Doctor, for heaven's sake!
We've taken the first measures. Mr. Stanhope is relatively comfortable, but I have to tell you, sir, his state is very grave.
What may we do, Doctor?
It's essential that he be set down on land. Another 24 hours of this bucketing must have a fatal issue. The nearest firm land, sir, if you please.
Well, we could fetch Ben Coolan, but not in 24 hours. Must you have a civilized town, a hospital?
Have I not made myself clear? Any land at all?
We rode here 3 days in the Clive, sir. 20 fathom, only a cable out. She looks huge and tall in such a confined space.
Don't she, though? Thank you for it, Pullington. Should I be uneasy about the drums?
Oh, no, sir. They belong to the Orang Bakut, a little black, naked people. No trouble at all.
I dare say. Is the doctor with his patient?
No, sir. The other tent. Preparing his instruments.
Stephen, may I come in? What is your news?
We shall operate as soon as there's light enough. I've represented to him the alternatives. His Excellency has made up his mind to the operation as a matter of duty.
Aye. Duty. Is there anything you require?
2 more chests and some leather-bound rope. I wish his resolution may not falter.
It is so important. So important. Roi de Trancy's parapluie, mille éléphants. No improper claim to influence upon the Sultanate may be yielded to. This is so important.
Mr. Stanhope.
Your drummers must be exhausted, sire. This ceremony has already lasted many, many hours.
Here, Mr. Stanhope, take a little water.
Oh, I will gladly drink with you, sire, to the health of His Majesty the King. Dres illustres Sultan de Campon de Trancy's éléphant. Éléphant.
Parade! Ready! Aim! Fire! Present! Arm!
An envoy's salute.
He had little real notion of dying.
I came on a fool's errand. A poor Stanhope dead. His diplomatic mission is finished.
So we are homeward bound at last.
I am required to touch at Calcutta, you know.
I'll not dissemble with you, Jack. Diana will be there, and I will see her.
It will be touch and go. Take warning. Calcutta, fare thee well, and home as fast as the ship will fly.
Are you indeed fully persuaded that they are not men of war?
Just in what the difference lies, Mr. Atkins, I'm not prepared to say, but to right seamen, it is instantly apparent.
They look wonderfully like, with their rows of guns.
It is their study, so to appear. There is much piracy in these waters. But if you look close, I believe you will see
the water butts placed, stowed, between the guns. That would never be countenanced in the service.
I'd no notion.
And you'll have noticed how Captain Aubrey has given orders to close with them. I can see he would scarcely have done so had there been an enemy fleet of such magnitude.
Is that what he meant by keep your luff and that oath?
It is all one. They speak in troops at sea.
Now then, Junker. You're always nattering about the wealth of the Orient. Take a look.
Thank you, sir.
Spy that ship that wears the Commodore's pendant. She's the Lushington. I made two voyages in her.
Was you with the company then, Mr. Pullings?
Now, look hard, Mr. Callow, for you will not likely see such a sight again. 39 Indiamen. There you have a clear 6 millions of money, not counting their officers' private ventures.
6 millions of money. God love us, Mr. Pullings. What a prize.
Signals from the Lushington, sir. To surprise. Request honor of captains and officers' company to dinner.
Do we know the Commodore, Mr. Stratton?
Captain Moffat, sir.
Well, the company's officers generally keep a good table.
Another signal, sir. To the convoy. All ships. Pretty young female passengers require Dine Frigate's officers. Repeat young. Repeat pretty.
Gentlemen, a toast to our wives and sweethearts.
Wives and sweethearts.
And may they never meet.
How very witty that is. I have never heard that said before.
Have you not? Sure, it is very commonplace.
I have heard it said that every sailor is a bachelor at sea. Is that true, Dr. Mattery?
I know some for whom it is, others for whom it is not.
And it is not only sailormen, Frankie, who behave so. No, indeed. Was you not in Bombay, Doctor, on your way out?
I was.
There is a Mrs. Villers from there who has just reached Calcutta. Oh, yes. You must have heard about her in Bombay, Doctor. Well, you wonder at the reports. Nothing but an adventuress. It is dreadful. People are obliged to receive her and pretend not to know, because her gentleman friend... Say her protector, sister. And he is married. Well, so. He is vastly important. Widely hated, as you would expect. They live in the highest style. Quite princely, Doctor. But even so, it is said she is ruining him. We saw her at the governor's in Calcutta. She was dressed very outré, not at all good-looking. But he, oh, a vastly genteel creature. Tall. Such an air and a dress. You would almost think that he was one of us. And then he looked at you, Aggie, in such a particular way.
A superfletion of vulgarity, innate and studiously acquired, both.
The nymphs in green? Stephen, I thought they were delightful girls.
Oh, it's clear you've been a great while at sea, then.
Well, I thought it a most capital dinner, upon my word. The duck was the best I have ever tasted.
A melancholy meat. And bathed in a sauce, not at all the thing for a subject of your corpulence. Apoplexy lurks in dishes of that kind.
That is not why you were looking at me so mumchance.
Those women spoke malignantly about Diana Villers. It angered me.
Well, the Indiamen are gone now. And how glad I am to be shot of the envoy's retinue with them. That wicked little scrub, Atkins.
He was a nuisance, but not a wicked man. Weak he was, and silly. And with no notion of our seafaring ways. What?
When you say weak, you say all the rest. You're too much inclined to find excuses for scrubs, Stephen. And is it not delightful to have room to move at last?
On deck there! Sail the larboard bow!
It cannot be the China fleet again.
True sail, maybe! Hard on the larboard bow!
Mizzen topmast staysail under the main top. Who's that old-fashioned fella?
It is Lenoir. Haul your wind!
Haul your wind there!
Bondon, out of port.
Out of port, sir.
Let fall the main course there! Strike the tendons!
Mr. Babington, fore staysail, main again.
Fore staysail and main again, sir!
Marines! Marines there! Mr. Etheridge, stir up your men! On deck there, Mr. Sturton! Dutch ensign! Two or three hoists of the first signal flags that come to hand! Two guns to windward! They must be made to think we have company!
Our duty is clear. We have reconnoitred the enemy, and I have not the least doubt that we can outsail him. We must beat up for the China fleet for which he is searching and do everything possible to preserve it.
This is the same Monsieur de Lenoir who captured us in the Mediterranean.
He is.
I remember him perfectly. A cheerful, polite gentleman in a red waistcoat.
He's an old fox, and I have no desire to be taken by him again. God send we may shake him off in the dark.
Will you fight him outnumbered if we do not?
Never fear, Stephen. I have a way of evening the odds.
I admire the regularity of your line, Mr. Muffet. The Channel fleet could not keep station better.
Well, between you, me, and the binnacle, sir, there is not a one of us would not sooner lose an eye tooth than miss stays with a king's officer looking on.
Ah, your ships look well with the blue ensign and their men-of-war pendants. We shall give Lenoir gun for gun.
We're not strictly allowed to wear Royal Navy colour, sir.
I can give the necessary permission. And that reminds me. Delicate matter, but Lenoir is devilish sly. If his spyglass picks up the company's uniform in our three supposed men of war... Captain Muffet, should you dislike to wear the King's coat for the occasion?
Oh, I should be honoured, sir. Indeed, I should.
Good. Then goodbye, Captain Muffet. The old gentleman will soon be upon us. You must allow me to add that I am most happy to have you as a colleague.
Captain Aubrey, you do me altogether too much honor.
Royals! Stansels all! What's the course, sir?
By God, Sturton, he means to break our line. Pullings, a signal. Tack in succession, make all possible sail.
Tack in succession, make all possible sail it is, sir.
All hands about ship!
Hard over. The runner aboard till the others come up. Mr. Harrowby, lay me athwart the Marengo's bow. Bondon and Zabrinsky below. Does she steer?
Prime, sir! Just my left arm sprung!
5 foot water in the well, sir, and rising!
Half a point, Bondon.
Half a point it is, sir!
Unless she yaws, we will rake her, Mr. Sturton.
Break! Life flat! No!
Stand to your guns! Mr. Pullings, clew up! Back fore topsail!
Clew up! Back fore topsail, sir!
Hard forward! Waste another shot! Wait for it! On the rise now! Fire!
God. I give you joy of victory, Captain Aubrey, but you have suffered most terribly.
Thank you, Captain Muffet. Yes, the enemy handled us roughly. Indeed, but for your Royal George coming up so nobly, I do believe he must have sunk us.
I'm afraid your losses must be shocking.
A light bill for such warm work, I assure you.
And you paid him back, sir.
Yes. Yes, we paid him back. By God, we did.
8 foot 3 inches of water in the well, if you please, sir. And he gains on us still.
Thank you, Mr. Sturton.
Can I be of any help, sir? Our carpenters, poulsons, hands to pump?
I shall take it kindly, Mr. Muffet. She will not swim another hour else.
Lord, what a battering.
Aye, and not a spar on the ship. My comfort is that the enemy is even worse found. But where I shall replace all my gear this side Bombay, I do not know.
Oh, as to that, the company will be delighted. Nothing too much. I shall tell them in Calcutta, sir. Your action has preserved their China fleet. Yardarm to yardarm with a 74. It is heroic. May I give you a tow?
No, sir. I will gladly escort you to Calcutta if you choose. But while I have a mast standing, sir, I will not be towed.
Well, sir, to you. It was the completest thing. The Nelson touch.
Ah, no, Mr. Canning, no, sir. There you mistake it. Nelson would have had the Marengo. I only almost thought we might. So you see, it was only a little indecisive brush after all.
The saving of a fleet worth 6 millions is not indecisive, sir. I pulled round your ship before coming aboard. I counted 47 great shot between what is left of your cutwater and the stump of the larboard cathead.
I never made the tally.
The company, my associates in trade, are with the utmost tact and delicacy very much hoping to express their sense of your achievement. I trust I do not offend you, sir.
Not in the least.
Well, then.
Here is that physical chap again. Good afternoon, sir.
Lady Forbes, your servant.
I trust I see you well. My sawbones, Romeo, you have a certain air. You find me at my tea, sir. May I offer you a cup?
That would be most kind. Ma'am, I will.
I lace it with gin, sir. It is your only thing against this hot, relaxing Calcutta damp.
Tea and gin? Mm.
So, you have buried poor Stanner by here?
I'm afraid so.
Well, well, we must all come to it. That's my comfort. Lord, the young men I have seen buried here. Mrs. Villis will be down directly. I dare say you would like to go and help her down yourself. She'll be lying there, stark naked, sweating under the punkah. Another nip?
I will not, ma'am, I thank you.
Stephen, my conquering hero.
Good afternoon, Villis.
How glad I am to see your phiz at last. Is that your elephant?
He graciously permitted me to ride upon his back.
You must never leave him in the sun. How can you bear this wicked heat?
It is that has been making me better.
And we are beside ourselves with stickiness and vexation, are we not, madam?
When I saw an elephant coming up the drive, I thought it must be that terrible boar, Johnson, again. He's always calling.
An American gentleman, sir. Ah. Perfectly cultured. All that about their spitting on the floor is so much stuff.
But he is a source of perpetual goddamn jealous scenes.
Oh, yes, they've been at it hammer and tongs, thrown in the bloody coal scuttle too.
Oh, I hate a man that makes scenes. But then everybody is furious in this weather. Maturin, come inside.
I'm not furious.
The fights, the scenes. She would reduce me to tears had I any left to shed.
The elephant is for splendour and confidence. It is to deal with my indwelling, increasing apprehension, even dread. You will remember that last time we met, I begged you would do me the honour of marrying me.
Why did you not ask me long ago, Stephen?
You would have refused me. You are not averse to giving pain.
So you were waiting until I had brought myself so low that you could do something quixotic like this?
You mistake me.
I might call it a great impertinence, Maturin. Were I not so fond of you.
Diane.
An affront. I have not come down to... You cannot really wish to marry me.
I do. Here.
You told me yourself long ago. The hunter does not really want the fox.
But I do.
What the devil are you about, sir?
What is that to you, Mr. Cannon?
Mrs. Villiers is under my protection.
I give no explanations for kissing a woman. Not to any man without she is his wife.
Do you not?
I do not, sir. And then what does your protection amount to? You know very well. Mrs. Canning arrives in the Hastings on the 16th. Your wife, sir.
Is this true, Canning?
Where is your protection, then?
You've been tampering with my papers, Maturin.
What kind of consideration is this to my friend here?
Your friend?
Pay no attention, Stephen. It is the heat. He is drunk. He will apologize.
You whore.
Leave this house at once, Canning. You are ridiculous. Do not notice it, Stephen. Do not fight him. Please. Promise me, do not fight him.
Must you?
In the morning, alas. Here are some papers I must confide to you, the usual things.
He was aboard, you know.
Canning?
He was sitting just where you do now. He offered me freight to carry home.
What's freight?
Oh, it means I'm clear of debt. Tinnevelly pearls, sapphires, $250,000 in treasure. My commission, 3%. I could see my cottage garden and Sophie. Who is your second?
Lieutenant Etheridge.
There's no settling without.
He struck me.
Stephen.
Never vex your heart for me, Jack. My hands may not be what they were, but I have been out before. Many, many times. Once almost with you.
Canning must certainly have been in wine. I was drinking with him.
Made as we are, he and I, it was inevitable, I suppose. I am but the catalyst of his unhappiness, and so he must try to kill me.
I like the man.
So do I.
God, Stephen. This is a black ending to the sweetest day.
Gentlemen, you may fire upon the signal.
Dead?
Yes.
We must get him aboard at once. Hail up the carriage.
Good morning, ma'am.
Captain Aubrey.
I have brought you a letter from Stephen Maturin.
Tell me, how does he do?
He is very low, ma'am. There is a great deal of fever. The ball is badly lodged, and the wound... You know all about wounds given in this climate.
You will excuse me, Aubrey.
Diana, you must come back to Europe. I send you this ring. Wearing it will perhaps help to deal with any material difficulties. You may rely upon me at all times. At all times. Stephen.
Aubrey, will you give me a passage home in your ship?
No, ma'am.
The regulations do not admit of it. She's unfit for a lady in any case.
Stephen has asked me to marry him.
In that letter?
He has sent his ring.
The Lushington sails in a few days.
I always knew you were a weak man, Aubrey. But I did not know till now that you were a scrub.
You have hurt my friend.
And Canning, that fine man, is dead. No doubt that meeting at dawn might have taken place over the most virtuous of women.
You are much the same as every man I have ever known, except for Maturin. You are false, weak, and in the end, a coward.
Wouldn't even take a draught for the pain. That's a doctor for you.
I'm deeply obliged to you, Jack, for going. How was she?
The servants are already stripping the house. She's bearing up. She has all the spirit in the world.
What was she wearing?
What? I did not attend. A sort of a dress, I suppose.
Not black?
No. Oh, for Canning, you mean? No, no. I should have noticed that, Stephen. You look damnably feverish. Should you not be taken to the hospital?
I should not, sir. I do this with my own hand. It fired the shot, killed Canning. It must take out his riposte. That is but justice. See this dagger? Straight from the armorer's forge. Neat. A charming instrument, sure.
Is there anything I can do?
You may hold the mirror. Or my belly, thus, when I give the word. Does blood upset you?
Bless you, Stephen. I have seen blood and wounds since I was a little boy.
Let us begin, then. Hold me, gentlemen.
The ball is out. Let there be no noise above the mainmast, Mr. Prince.
No noise it is, sir.
You look wholly pale yourself, sir. Will you take a dram?
Which your honour will have to change his coat. Breeches, too. All over blood.
He opened himself with his own hands. Right to the heart. I saw it beating in cold blood.
Ah, sir, well, that's surgery for you. But it's Dr. Maturin we're talking about here. Remember the Sophie's Gunner, sir. Yeah. You'll be as right as a trivet, never you fret. Do not let it put you off your dinner, sir.
I've lost the conviction of immortality.
Stephen?
Ama ferumque cano. Deeply illogical, yet deeply angered. And gone. Troie. Qui primus aboris Italian fato profugus lavinia qui venit latora.
Ultimately, it is acted as it ought to be supra.
How is he, sir?
They be memorum in honus of Ireland.
Shall I fetch you coffee, sir?
Yes, Killick. Coffee. Hot.
Hot coffee,
sir. Genos et albani qui patris ad qui alti moini et romi. Calms appear when storms are past. Love will have his hour.
Diana, prostituting herself in an opera box, while I might have that very to offer to all comers.
Lord Stephen.
Oh, that incredible grace of movement. Never dull, never cowardly. Physical grace. Dash. So taking the place of virtue. And you, Jack Aubrey, you will pierce yourself with your own weapon. I fear a bottle of wine inside you and you'll go to bed with the next wind shows a gleam.
Shh,
quit with regretting it all your days. You know no chance.
Hush now.
Nous amici causas momora guanumene light of quid condolence regina.
Thank God we're in Latin again. Long may it last.
Tata dire laboras.
Thank you.
Dutchman if this is not the blessed trade wind at last.
No Dutchman you, Pullins.
Hey! Green tea!
Is that the doctor?
Green tea there!
Still raving, sir, and no change there these 3 weeks.
Is there no one on this vile ship that knows how to look after a calendar? Huh? Green tea! I've been calling and calling!
Bondon, light along and face the captain, will you?
Pass the word, sir!
The wind changes, and even the doctor sounds better.
It was the wind that did it, Stephen. The blessed, the true southeast trade.
The more I know of the Navy, the more I'm astonished by this weak belief in bugaboos.
Say what you please. These things work.
In spite of your eagerness to be home, yet you declined to sail on a Friday?
For the men's sake.
Oh, I reply, ha ha.
And they have another day's shore leave. We will clear Madeira all the quicker for it, you shall see. And then I have but to run my treasure home. Sophie and I will be married, and the future is pure paradise. This is my agent's office.
Captain Aubrey, welcome, sir. Lushington was in last week, and Captain Muffet told us all about your noble action. Allow me to wish you joy, sir, and shake you by the hand.
Thank you, Mr. Henderson. Tell me, is there any mail?
No, sir. Nobody would have expected you at the island these many months yet. Though... Now I come to think on it, I have one message in the office for a Dr. Maturin belonging to the Surprise.
My name is Maturin.
Oh, it was left by a lady passenger in the Lushington. Here you are, sir.
Jack, I shall take a turn.
Good day to you, sir.
My dear Maturin, you will think me very cruel.
In HMS Surprise by Patrick O'Brien, dramatized by Roger Daines, Captain Jack Aubrey was played by David Robb. Dr. Stephen Maturin by Richard Dilley. Midshipman Callow, Carl Prekop. Barrett Bondon and Arthur Stanhope, David Timpson. Lieutenant Pullings, David Holt. Preserved Killick, John Glover. Lieutenant Babington, Chris Pavlo. Lieutenant Sturton, Stephen Critchlow. Lady Forbes, Leslie Nicol. Diana Villiers, Ajua Ando. Miss Agatha, Sarah Daines. Captain Muffet, John Rowe. Other parts were played by the cast. The play was directed by Bruce Young.